Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hour two. Tony, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to two on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
And now the pitch on the way to Russell. Swinging a fly ball to right, playable for Parra, and the Washington Nationals have swept the three-game series.
Thank you so much for hanging out with us. I'm Lawrence Holmes here with you until 2 o'clock. This hour is being brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago. And this segment is being brought to you by Casper.com/terms. We get the opportunity to talk with Bruce Levine. Usually about once a week, we check in with Bruce. He joins me now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. 500 new and used vehicles for you at Alpamonte Ford. You can find Bruce on Twitter at MLB Bruce Levine, and now you can listen to Bruce right here on The Score. Hello, Bruce.
Hello, Lawrence. And do you realize the Chicago Cubs have dropped 6 games in the standings since August 8th? They were 3.5 games ahead in their division. That's a season high, I believe, on August 8th. And since then, they've dropped 6 games in the standings, now 2.5 games behind the Cardinals. That's a huge swing in a division where the most of those teams have been neck and neck all the way.
When I saw you on Friday, things were great for the Cubs. They had come off of sweeping the Giants. They had won 5 in a row. They looked like they were doing some good things. And then the Nationals came in and played it like a playoff series and looked great. From what those guys in the clubhouse told you, what was the difference in this series?
Well, they didn't do what they had to do offensively. I think everybody at the station has been talking about it all weekend long. And Joe Maddon's been talking about it all year long, the fact that they don't move the ball around. They don't have a two-strike approach. I heard your segment leading into this about Javier Baez. He's not the lone ranger when it comes to not having an approach. If you want to see an approach, look at Anthony Rizzo. Look at Nick Castellanos. Those are the guys that have an approach. Who drove in the runs? Who hit during the homestand? Those two guys who both hit above 500. Everybody else struggling. Even Chris Bryant, who, if you're a war guy, you know, you love Chris Bryant. If you watch him and you look at him compared to 2 years ago and his approach to right field, he's dipping his shoulder. He's popping everything up. He's not driving the ball that way. So perfection we're not looking for, I don't think, in ball players, Lawrence. But an approach that a team can be functional with, like the Washington Nationals, the way they approached it, the type of players they have, I think you're going to see more of that involved in the Chicago Cubs in the future when they're putting together a composite of a 25-man roster. I think they're going to pay more attention to the quote-unquote ball player, the guy that can run a little bit, the guy that can get on base. They're not easy to find, but the Cubs have been chasing that since Dexter Fowler left.
Bruce, what's this season been like to cover? Because there's been the highs have been high and the lows have been super low with the Cubs.
There's a lot of consistency with the Cubs. When they talk, when they address the media, when they deal with each other, they're a very professional, very consistent team. One that knows how to handle the ups and downs, knows how to talk to the media, express themselves. Are they getting worn out by being expected to be a 100-win team every year? Does it wear on them? I think it does. They're only human. Because they're not that team this year, because they're far behind that and looking like a team that right now is on pace to win 85 games, still a possibility winning a division, I think it wears on them mentally. Certainly physically this time of year, all baseball players are kind of worn out. But the mental fatigue goes along with it when you're not living up to the expectations and the goals that you set for yourself.
What's the latest on Wilson Contreras?
I'd expect him in about 10 days. He's gonna need to start. He's hitting. He's on this road trip. He's swinging in the cage now. Practicing out of the squat. But I think he's gonna need a week of playing games, getting up and down. Three injuries to his legs, two significant hamstrings in the last couple of years here. So from that perspective, they have to be extremely careful. And because they have Caratini and they have Lucroy, they don't have to catch him every day going down to the end of the season. But as much as he's been missed behind the plate, calling games with his great arm, he's been missed even more in the middle of that lineup, because he was the guy, along with Baez, that was carrying the team the first 2.5 months of the season. He's the guy that had the better at bats and was moving the ball around the way Joe and Anthony Iaposi, the hitting coach, want them to do. So he's missed as much behind the plate as he is in the middle of that order there. It's a dysfunctional offense at best right now. You can go into detail numbers-wise. You don't even have to do that. You just look at the type of at-bats they're having. Look at the type of fact that they are the worst team in baseball as far as seeing pitches in the strike zone, because teams know they don't have to throw strikes to them. So that's an indicator to you right there that this is a team that needs to find a way offensively and not rely on their starters and their bullpen to win it for them.
How is Anthony Rizzo doing, and do you think that he'll be down for a couple of days?
Oh, I think so. This is a little different. Normally, throughout his career, he's had a lower back issue, and it usually pops up in spring training and maybe once or so during the season. He usually misses three to five games, and he's out. This one is a mid-back, and he told the staff and Joe Maddon that he feels this one is more controllable. He doesn't think he misses much time. So maybe in the Mets series he will be back. But having 3 days off here until they start the series in New York tomorrow night against Stroman and the Mets, I would be surprised if he's in there tomorrow. But I would say, toward the end of the Mets series there's a chance he'll be in, according to the way they talked about this injury being a little different from the other back issues.
You brought up Baez, and we're talking with Bruce Levine, our MLB insider here on The Score. Joe had talked about him in postgame, saying that he looks like a guy who needs a day off. Is that part of the reason why Addison Russell made it back from Iowa, so that they could give Baez a couple days or maybe piggyback some days off with days off that are already on the schedule?
They needed better defense, and even though Russell had his head somewhere else on defense and base running, which initially was the reason they sent him down, they know he can be a lot better than that, and he's the only professional shortstop that they have that can play more than one day at that position. You saw them get burned in the ninth inning in that game where Bodie and Ian Happ couldn't get to balls and couldn't make plays. They don't want that to happen. As bad as Baez has been, Lawrence, offensively, and you chronicled it beautifully since the All-Star break, poor the last 2 weeks, really bad the last week, awful. His defense is, show me a shortstop that is better than Javier Baez. He single-handedly kept them in games, especially yesterday's game,
yep,
with just beautiful plays. And Joe just cannot live without his defense at shortstop. So he should get a mental day or two off. Physical part goes right along with it at this time of year, but he needs a mental day or two off, because you see him at the plate and there's just like, let's get this over with. I'm going to swing at three pitches. I hope I hit it hard. If not, I'm going to the bench. You see, just the way his body language tells you what's going on in an at-bat, and the way that he slumps back to the dugout tells you everything you know about Javier Baez as far as where he thinks his offense is right now.
Let's switch over to the South Side for a second, Bruce. I've loved watching the second half version of Reynaldo Lopez. And if you go back to June 9th, he hasn't had a start that's been shorter than 5 1/3, which I think is tremendous. Why has he been better over the last 60 innings or so?
Fastball command, belief in it, controlling the strike zone, not just throwing the ball over the plate. I talked to Mullion Hall this morning about the fact that it's command in the strike zone is so so important. And command means you're not throwing the ball down the middle of the plate. You're controlling both sides of the plate. You're eventually when you're ahead in counts, you're throwing four seamers outside of the zone that they swing and miss on or miss hit. You're throwing your changeup or your breaking ball outside of the zone. So taking advantage of your fastball command, setting hitters up, making them swing at strikes that are making them swing at pitches that are no longer strikes. It's always been the key to pitching, and that's what Lopez is doing very well.
Tim Anderson, I'm shocked by him because he's still getting on base at about a 350 clip, and he doesn't walk. Is that sustainable?
Oh, yeah. I mean, look at Javier Baez. I mean, that's – if you want a comp, you know, Baez and Anderson are the same guys. They drive the ball. I mean, Anderson hasn't hit with as much power as Baez has. I think eventually you're going to see 25 or 30 home run seasons out of Tim Anderson. But they're not going to walk. And neither manager, neither hitting coach on those teams are going to say, you know what, we want you to look at more pitches. We want you to be more selective. They might ask him to try to hit pitches in the strike zone, but they're not going to say, you're going to have to walk more. That's just not in their DNA. So he's a 350 on base percentage guy, but he's hitting 331, right? So neither one of those guys are going to walk. Professional baseball people tell you, you can't teach a guy to walk. And if you try to change everything, you're going to mess up what's really good about the guy. He's got a chance to win a batting title. He gets another 100 at bats. He's right there. If he keeps his average where it's at, he's right there with two other guys as far as trying to win the batting title. That'd be a nice little carrot. More importantly, continue to establish himself as one of the better players in the American League. You still see the lapses on defense. I don't know if that's late season fatigue or what. He relies on that arm just like Baez does. They have two of the best arms in baseball at shortstop. They can play in short left field and throw just about anybody out in the game. Sometimes they take that for granted, and you start seeing a sidearm flip or two, and that's why Anderson, I think, leads the American League shortstops in errors. But it's not that he can't do the job. It's just a lack of concentration from time to time.
Anderson slash 328, 349, 491 for an 840 OPS. He's walked 10 times this year. That is amazing. I think that you may have, while we were talking about Tim Anderson and the White Sox, you may have scared some Cub fans, Bruce, when you talk about the idea of changing your approach with some of the Cubs players. You're hoping for a change in approach, and now that you're under 35 games for the rest of the season, how hopeful should Cub fans be that their guys are going to get the message down the stretch, especially with a rough stretch of games coming up this week?
Well, they have really good players, okay, Lawrence? Let's not forget that. These are all-stars. These are guys that have been to and won a World Series. These are guys that have been to the playoffs 4 years in a row. So to say that it's all doom and gloom and that they're not going to get it together and they're not going to score runs, I think that would be not giving them enough credit. To this point, you know, they certainly have underperformed offensively. It's a couple of years in a row. Forget about John Mailey. Forget about
Chili Davis.
Forget about Anthony Iaposi. This is strictly on the players themselves. They've been taught, they've been asked, they've been cajoled by Joe and Iaposi. It's all about them. So the construction of the future lineup and how Epstein and Hoyer approach the offseason, that's going to be the big story, because they're no longer going to have 9, 10, 11 hitting coaches like they've had over the last 7 years. Yeah, that's the number. It's double digits when you consider the hitting coach and assistant hitting coaches that they've been through. So it's entirely up to the type of player you bring in there, the type of player you keep from now on.
Bruce, I appreciate the information and the time as always. Thank you.
Enjoyed it, Lawrence. Take care.
That's Bruce Levine, our MLB insider, with his thoughts on what's going on with the Cubs and the White Sox. Hey, Sleptember is an entire month dedicated to rest and relaxation. Celebrate and save 10% now through Labor Day on any purchase with a mattress at Casper.com. That's Casper.com. Terms and conditions apply. See Casper.com/terms. Some good stuff in there from Bruce. on a lot of the issues that the Cubs are having. It's what a difference a weekend can make. Let's see if they can get it back. But was it, is it what, Stroman, Syndergaard, DeGrom that they're going to face in New York?
Go ahead, guys. There you go.
Good luck. Good luck. Because they
also change your approach as you're doing that. Thank
some
you.
Swing and miss dudes right there. Some blow you away dudes right there. Good luck with that, bruh. But maybe we'll see. Maybe since the fortunes of the Cubs at home reversed, perhaps the fortunes of the Cubs on the road will reverse.
Just for this 3-game series, that's it?
Just to kind of balance the scales. Someone said, did Pecota project them to 89 games? No, Pecota projected them to win 79, right? Wasn't that the number on them?
Their initial, I believe, was 79. I think they bumped them up to 80 after that.
But not 89?
Not 89.
And now it's like 85. And that might win the division. It might be all you need. But as we've talked about over the last week or so, it's getting late and dark. Need to do something. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I'd like to talk a little bit more about the Andrew Luck situation. And I want you to hear from Andrew Luck, particularly something that he had to say about the reaction that Colts fans had once this became news. I'll share that with you next here on The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Bears securing their first preseason win behind an excellent defensive performance, a strong third quarter offensively from Tyler Bray and company. And now you're starting to hear the reaction of some of the fans. It almost, Jimmy, yeah. It sounds like some of these fans are booing as Andrew Luck starts to head back towards the locker room here.
Pretty sad turn of events there, in my estimation. I'm Lawrence Holmes here with you until 2 o'clock. I did not like seeing that. Not that you should boo a bad guy, but like one of the nicest guys. One of the great ambassadors of the NFL. And one of the best players when he's healthy in Andrew Luck. It was really bizarre what happened on Saturday down there. And it was, I was following it. Like, I was out and about because, you know, Bears preseason games, am I right? And I'm paying attention to, you know, what's happening. I'm watching all the video and I'm like, man, this is the way that this whole thing kind of went down was a little bit strange. The fact that the timing of Schefter getting the story vetted enough that he felt comfortable to tweet it as the Bears and the Colts are on the field. Really, really strange stuff. And then you have the boos as Luck is walking off the field. And I thought that was, watching it initially, I thought it was difficult. And then you hear Andrew's reaction to it, and it's a short reaction, but to me it made it even more difficult.
Yeah, I'd be lying if I didn't say I heard the reaction. Yeah, it hurt. I'll be honest, Chap. It hurt.
It's messed up. Like, that's a guy that does things the right way and has a lot of love for that city, for that place where they play, and to the fact that you wanted him to hurt, you wanted to hear those boos. Congratulations. He hurt him, and it hurt. And I mean, that's terrible.
That's somebody that sacrificed their body for your entertainment.
And did it with an offensive line that he didn't put together, they put together. Until last year, they couldn't protect Andrew Luck, taking a beating. And now, because he's like, I really don't want to take a beating anymore. I physically can't play the game, and I don't love it anymore. And if you were hoping that Andrew Luck would maybe turn around, and maybe he will, But if he was looking for the love of a game, like let's say that he's still milling it over. Like he's made the decision. But in the back of his mind, well, maybe at some point I'll come back. And you walk off. And his last memory in that stadium is getting booed. Tony, re-rack that. Think about this. His last memory of you, the Colts fan, as he's walking off the field, is getting booed for retiring. And then when he's asked about it, you got a real reaction from a dude who is going through a lot.
Yeah, I'd be lying if I didn't say I heard the reaction. Yeah, it hurt. I'll be honest, chap. It hurt.
That's his last feeling about Colts fans. The last example of you in front of him was that.
If you're going to be mad, you should be mad at the Colts organization for not protecting their prized possession. This was one of the greatest QB prospects we've seen, and they ruined him. That medical staff failed him. They misdiagnosed injuries on multiple occasions. And in that same press conference, he thanks them. He thanks the medical staff for all their hard work that they've done for him, even though they ruined him. And they boo him.
Think about how much better this would have felt had Colts fans give him a standing ovation. Now, I'm sure that when they have Andrew Luck night years from now, that'll be the way that people react. But you saw the real reaction. The real reaction, the lizard brain reaction, was to boo that dude. Think about how much better it would have gone had the people who were in their feelings about it had said, you know what? I'm not going to take this Andrew Luck jersey off and act like a fool. I appreciate what he's done and tried to do for the last 7 years. I appreciate that he tried to come and play this year. I appreciate how close he's gotten us. It would have felt so much better than that. Now onto the business of football with Luck. I thought that it was difficult to sit here and listen to him talk about it. I'll just give it to you from my perspective. For those of you who are new to the show who don't know my background, I know that's a lot of people as we bring in new listeners, which is great. Welcome to the show. Before I did a talk show every day, I covered the Bears every day. I'd be at House Hall. I cover games. I talk with a lot of players, both in the Bears locker room and across the NFL. They're more than any other sport. I think hockey's up there, but more than any other sport, this game debilitates you. It destroys you physically. Guys are compensated very well. But I'm not sure that even they know how bad the damage is going to be. I work with ex-football players every week during football season. I see guys having a hard time getting upstairs. I've seen guys have a hard time getting dressed. And with Luck, you had a guy that was just in and out, in and out. I'm hurt. I'm rehabbing. I'm back. I'm trying to help this team win. And it just got to be too much. Now, I really fell for him. At the beginning of this show, we were talking a little bit about it, and you heard his press conference. Tony, let's share this, because I think that in the first couple of minutes of his press conference, he lays out a really compelling case of why he needs to walk away.
It is certainly isn't how I envisioned this or planned this, but I am going to retire. This is not an easy decision. Honestly, it's the hardest decision of my life. But it is the right decision for me. For the last 4 years or so, I've been in this cycle of injury, pain, rehab, injury, pain, rehab. And it's been unceasing and unrelenting, both in season, and off season. And I felt stuck in it. And the only way I see out, is to to no longer play football. It's taken my joy of this game away. I've been stuck in this process. I haven't been able to live the life I want to live. Taking the joy out of this game. And after 2016, where I played in pain and was unable to regularly practice, I made a vow to myself that I would not go down that path again. I find myself in a similar situation. And the only way forward for me is to remove myself from football in this cycle that I've been in. Come to the proverbial fork in the road. And I made a vow to myself that if I ever did again, I would choose me in a sense. It's very difficult. I love this team. I love my teammates, the folks in our building, the fans, the game of football. And as part of this team, as a member of this team, and because of how I feel, I know that I am unable to pour my heart and soul into this position. Which would not only sell myself short, but the team in the end as well. And it's sad, but I also have a lot of clarity in this. It's been a difficult process, but my wife, my family, my friends, Mr. Ballard, Mr. Irsay, the Irsay family, and Frank Reich have been incredibly helpful, supportive, and I'm so grateful for them.
I don't want to do this anymore. I can't do this anymore. That's what you got from Andrew Luck. I tried. There are people texting in, well, you kind of put the organization in a bad spot. He was going to play this year. Yeah, you should retire during the offseason. No, he thought he was going to be the starting quarterback for the Colts. Then the injuries happened again, and the Colts didn't know. Remember what the Colts were doing? Oh, it's a calf strain. Nope, it's an Achilles. Nope, it's a bone injury. Nope, we don't know. And whatever it is, he doesn't feel right. He doesn't feel like he's ready to play. And that game, that's a real hard game to not play if you don't feel right. It's sad to me, but I'm happy that he came to this conclusion. He just got married. And I'm sure that he was like, I don't want to put you through this. You know what people are like when they're rehabbing to get back in athletics? Horrible. Because rehabbing is not fun. Playing football, playing basketball, playing baseball, playing hockey, that's fun. Usually a majority, a vast majority of the guys who play the game at that level have an innate love for the game. There's a couple guys, like, they're tall, so they just play basketball, or they happen to be good enough to play football, so they play. But the vast majority of guys have a love for it that runs very deep. And I think Andrew Luck is one of those dudes. To hear him say, I don't love football anymore, makes me really sad as someone who's an Andrew Luck fan. And once you get to that point where you don't love it, it's time to go. Because are you really going to be able, as much as you think, well, I'm a professional, I'll be able to power through this. No, why do that? Now, he is in a privileged position. As a quarterback making quarterback salary, it's a choice that he can make that other players probably can't. Guys hang on a year too long in their careers. Because they're like, well, you know, where else am I going to make $1 million? I'm gonna go out here and go through the motions in my 12th year as a pro to make this $1 million. And to not want the extra, you just want your body to feel good. And I'm sure with Luck, he probably wants to make sure his mind feels good too. I applaud him. And I want to keep the door open for him to come back a year from now. If he's like, feel pretty good. My body doesn't hurt anymore. Maybe I'll go back out there and play a couple more years if my body still feels this good. A
Or maybe he walks away and he does whatever he wants to do. At 29, man, could you imagine having made $100 million in just football? I don't even know what he's made as far as like endorsements. Does Andrew Luck have any real endorsements? DirecTV and like stuff like that? I'm sure he did, but I can't really remember.
Didn't he have that one with Mike Trout where they were like, I think it was...
They were dancing?
Vitamin water, I believe, or something like that? Yeah, they were dancing.
They were in the disco?
Yeah.
Because they're the same guy?
Yeah.
They're exact same dude. It's funny. And then to have all these options of what the world is like. Could you imagine, Tony, you're 26, right?
Yeah. I couldn't imagine what I'd do with $100 million for right now. I probably would still come to work, honestly.
Are you dead at 32 if I give you $100 million at 29?
No.
Tony's a good kid.
I know. He's a great kid.
Yeah, no. Man, $100 million at 26.
See, someone pushed back on JJ where JJ said he could probably retire with that money. Like, well, of course he can. Do you understand that like 80% of lottery winners go broke? People go broke all the time.
Yeah, that's why I appreciate this job, and because I found what, you know, my calling is. So now if I do make that money just by happenstance, I'll still come and do the show. Like, it's because I want to do it. Other people, they quit their jobs and then spend all the money.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat with you, Tony. I think if I won the lottery, I would still do this. I'd still do this show. Might be we'd be living a little different. Tony'd have some diamond encrusted headphones going on. And maybe there's a home studio for your boy where the days I don't feel like driving down here, I'm going to be like, let me just dial in the Uncle Terry treatment. And maybe have a studio somewhere else too, like, I don't know, Phoenix or Miami or Costa Rica. I'm on the beach right now. Go Bears! Bottom of the hour is being brought to you by Northwestern Football. Don't miss your chance to watch Big Ten football at Ryan Field this fall as the Big Ten West champion Northwestern Wildcats, led by Big Ten Coach of the Year Pat Fitzgerald, host Ohio State, Iowa, Purdue, and more. Tickets are on sale now at nusports.com. Christopher, if you won the lottery, you go 100 mil, you coming to work?
No.
Okay. It's fair. It's completely fair.
No. It's called... Invest, make my money work for me from there on out, and I'm never working another day in my life.
Are you not even going to do, like, the chef thing? Like, none of that?
I'd open up a restaurant, maybe, but, like...
Now don't do that! That's the worst thing you could do with that money.
Hey, if I won the lottery, like I said, I'd invest first and make my money work for me, so then I'd have the money to go do that.
Okay, but that's how dudes go broke, opening up restaurants.
I said restaurant, not restaurants.
Good point. Here's what you do. Buy you a franchise. Get yourself a Popeyes, especially right now.
Let me get them chicken sandwiches.
We're going to find out what's going on at Bears camp. We check in with Chris Emma next here on The Score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Boom.
Before I get to Chris Emma and his report on the Bears, a couple people texted in at 670-11 and said, hey, is Schefter a bad guy for reporting this? No, he's not. We'll never know, but I'm so curious on how he got this story. Like, as a former reporter, I am fascinated because once you get it confirmed, once you have vetted it, you have to imagine that maybe there are other people with the information. His job is to break stories. So I don't think that Schefter's bad at all for it, as long as he followed the proper protocols that ESPN has in place on breaking news. And it seems that he did. Schefter's rarely wrong. It put everyone in a bad, weird place. But that's why he's at the top of the profession when it comes to stuff like this. This segment being brought to you by Grandview Homes. Chris Emma covers the Bears for us. He does a tremendous job throughout training camp as the Bears get ready to start the season on September 5th against the Packers. He files this report from Hallis Hall today.
It's the final week of the preseason as the Bears get back to work today in Lake Forest. The team will take the field this afternoon for its first of three practices before Thursday's finale to the exhibition slate. The Bears are already working away with their game plan for the regular season opener against the Packers. Quarterback Mitchell Trubisky and the starting offense have been lining up against the scout team defense mimicking the Packers' defense. The Bears have run their first team offense and first team defense against each other plenty over the last month, more than most teams do, in fact. It has allowed them to simulate a game type intensity in the controlled structure of practice. During that ones-against-ones work, second-year linebacker Roquan Smith has gotten a good look at what rookie running back David Montgomery can bring to the Bears.
He's a great back, able to make the cuts, powerful, and, you know, get the tough yards, and as well as out in space, his agility speaks for itself, so definitely great to have a guy on the team.
Roster cutdowns are due by 3 p.m. Central Saturday afternoon. Teams will then complete their initial 53-man rosters on Sunday with the waiver wires, but the Bears will have already begun their game week preparation for the Packers by Sunday. For continued coverage of the Bears, log on to 670thescore.com.
It's so weird getting through this preseason because we're all like, that's enough. We've had just about enough of this nonsense, but it's the way of the world. Hurry up, September 5th. Hurry up. I'll talk with McNeil and Parkins next here on The Score.
Gotta love preseason football.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Bye-bye. Oh, you tripping. I'm out of here anyway. Peace out.
A big thanks to the crew, Tony, always. Thanks to Christopher Dickens, who was handling everything else that was going on the other side of the glass. If you're an NIU fan, in my last two LoHo Dailies, I talked with Sean Frazier, the athletic director of NIU. It's a really, really good 20-minute interview. And I talked a little bit about Andrew Luck. Download the radio.com app. And you can check out my podcast. I don't know what I'm going to talk about today. It might be week zero. I might have some thoughts on college football because it was nice to have it back. And the first game was awful. Second game was a little awful too, but at least it was more exciting. I welcome in McNeil and Parkins. They will be taking you the rest of the way this afternoon. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello, Lawrence.
Hello, Lawrence. I'd never lost money on week zero before until this year.
Congratulations to you. I hate the description of it as week zero. I mean, if it were week zero, they wouldn't play games, would they? How about week one? Whatever. All right. But next week, we'll be back to numerals, regular numerals. You lost already?
Yeah, I bet. I laid the 7 with Florida.
Oh, They should have won with the Mad Russian, and he emptied your pockets.
It was the first game. It was on at the house that we rented in Lake Geneva, and I was like, oh, I'll just have action. I'll bet on the best unit on the field, which is Florida's defense.
Yeah.
And then Florida's offense fumbled the ball twice, driving into score.
What was Felipe Franks doing on that last drive?
No idea. The game was a joke. It's like, oh, I'm so glad football is back. And then it's like, I really prefer the NFL.
Did you chase with Arizona, Hawaii?
No, I wasn't watching. And so I was just like, I'll put that one off to the side. But it was, it was totally an action play, but it was fun to have it back. And did you see the number that it did?
It did a 4.1 rating.
So college football is eventually going to just be a summer sport, right?
I don't know why you wouldn't.
They're just going to keep starting it earlier and earlier.
I agree with you.
Clemson, I want to say it was 2 years ago, en route to winning the championship, played 15 games. You know, when you factor in a 12-game schedule, conference championship, playoff, and then the title game. So if the team that wins it all is playing 15 games and an NFL team plays 16, why couldn't you spread it out a little bit more and start it earlier and give kids more time off if the ratings are going
to
be that big?
It makes sense to jump in and get a start on the NFL and also give them a taste of football because they're clamoring for an entertainment option.
That's what I'm saying.
Baseball season goes forever, and some people will watch it anyway, but give them an option.
Well, Arizona, because they had the Hawaii trip, they had the choice. You get a bye or an extra game, and Kevin Sumlin chose – we want an extra bye. So they'll have 3 weeks off in this season. And I think that you're right. You stay away from the NFL as long as you can. And if you moved it up to last week, like let's say the first game was on, August 18th or instead of August 24th or whatever it was.
Yeah.
People would be down. If you did a Thursday night game to kick it off, in week zero, or I guess week negative one, we have to go with
it. Yeah, put it on when no one else is going. I agree.
They're in a tough spot though because they want the bowl games to be at the same time. Like they want their New Year's Day, and they want to own the same like periods of time that they've owned at the end of the year. So then, if you start it earlier, are you going to just have more time off in the middle, or how are you going to balance that?
But remember, there are those dead spots, right? There's the week of the Army Navy game where no one else plays. There's the week where all the stuff is going on with the FCS, and so I mean, there's
you could take a week off for fine. I'm just kidding. They're not students. That was my mistake. I for a minute there thought they were students.
No,
but no.
They are, but they aren't.
Well, no, they try, but they're not treated like students.
Correct.
In the big picture, you are listening to WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago, Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station.
Did you have a good weekend? He and I are going to compare notes on our weekends. They were completely different, on brand for both of us, but in different universes. How was yours?
I was off brand this weekend because usually a weekend when I don't have work to do.
You go to a Cubs game?
No, I did.
Although you occasionally go to Cubs games.
I was there Friday. I mean, I went to the clubhouse and talked with some people over there Friday. And then Saturday was amazing. One of my producers over at NBC Sports Chicago, Slavko, he had a Serbian pig roast at his place. He had put the pig in the ground for 2 days. I got there as he was carving it up. He's like, you got to try the skin. We had a great time. And then I left there and headed out to Naperville on my buddy Joanne Martin, her 40th birthday. It was a 50s themed party. I found that I looked good in a fedora.
Nice. You just start working it in like Tony Romo?
I am.
Nice.
I am. And I stayed out until 1:30
previously
in the morning.
Undetected this? Or?
I mean, I'm a cap guy. I look good in a cap. I didn't know if I looked good in hats. So I'm like, let me try this. This might fit my head. So I was like, I got the 50s look. And what's great, I texted my mom and I said, I'm going to a 50s party. Am I close to getting the vibe? And she goes, you look like your grandfather. I was like, done.
Perfect. Yeah.
Got it. And I stayed out till 1:30, which meant getting back from Naperville 2:30. Yesterday was a little rough.
Wow.
So this was completely off brand of a weekend for me.
I kicked it like it was college, man. My God.
Really?
Often
yeah. Do. Yeah. I can live vicariously through your travels.
It was, I mean, we had an absolute blast, but it was
most of it legal.
Yeah, it was fine. It was 12 of us in a house golfing every day, and living about. Oh, is that a picture of you in the hat?
Yeah.
Is that a fedora? That's a good look. But is that technically a fedora? I thought the fedora was more like the Kangol style, like the forward thing. That's more of I would have called that a top hat. I don't know that I would have called that a fedora, but I'm sure you're right.
I want to get a top hat, like a real one, and a cane.
So it's a spider more than it is a snake. I struggle with identification. Oh, Tanny's back. Good. And we can see our guys.
Yes, this is Shep our first
moves the screen
ride.
Out of the way. So how great is this? I can see everybody.
Mental Defective League is back in formation, and we can see their smiling faces today, or frowning faces, or indifferent faces, or faces that say, is it six yet?
It's those really faces. Nice. It is strange, though, to be all the way over here. Because I did you guys were out the last two times
right.
that I did the show from the studio.
Yeah.
So I haven't had to move for transition.
Mm.
So I'm, you know, trying to still get a feel for, because Mitch said, okay, if you got notes, let me know what the notes are on the new studio. I think that we might need a little bit of space where Danny sits in the driver's seat, like just for the console. Like almost.
Yeah, this is a little cluttered.
A little jammy.
Well, because. The other thing is, like, the phone monitor screen is just, it's bigger than it needs to be. You know what I mean? Like, when's the last time we had 12 calls?
You don't need that
calls?
Phone with you either. We don't do many calls. You could always put it off to the side, and that give you a little bit
I
more space.
I might free up some space
need.
Over
yeah,
there.
You free, so put
that's
it over
true.
There. Yeah, there's a spot for that.
I guess it kind of depends on,
here.
It depends on what your level of control is with the calls. Because, like, for the last 2 months, Tony's been in charge of phone calls, which is weird. Like, I don't ordinarily cede control of the phones. Like, I punch people up and then I put them on hold. But now I'm kind of like, maybe.
Kind of liked it, huh?
Yeah, maybe I should just let Tony do that. And then, you know, I could free up that space.
I just like that we're still in the phase of building it. Like, last week there wasn't a power strip at the host chair. And I just came in here for 2 seconds. I was like, well, we got to be able to plug in phones or laptops or, you know, have access to power. 30 seconds later, our guy Shane Reardon took care of it, and we both were wired up with power strips. So it's really nice. Like, right now, if you need something, this is the time to ask for it around here.
Do you think that we should do another TV?
I think we should upgrade those two TVs if you are honestly asking my opinion.
Well, no matter how much we upgrade them, we're not going to get a high-def signal out of that system. So
why?
It's not fed that way in the building. So you could have a high-def TV all you want. That's all they make these days, I'm pretty sure. I don't think anyone's manufacturing a standard TV,
def?
Are they? But it's still going to have the standard feed in it. Because,
oh, well, then that doesn't matter nearly as much.
Yeah.
I was just hoping to get some HD television where we could see it.
Well, and I've got some decent sports art things because we got a lot of wall space.
Yeah,
I'll bring
we do.
In my Frank Thomas. Very nice print. It's framed, matted and framed real nice. There's a Bears Super Bowl 20 ticket that's blown up with the bear claw ripping its way through the Super Bowl 20 logo that's just sitting in a closet somewhere. So I'll bring some stuff in to adorn the walls, stuff that's friendly for all of our teams.
Yeah, it'd be cool if every show kind of had their own things, too.
Up.
Little
yeah.
character in here.
Yeah, we'll see David Haw's Ball State Cardinals jersey if it's in a frame. We put that up. Lawrence, you got your DePaul jersey?
Why don't the teams donate something? Each of the teams, send us a little something.
That would be a good idea, too.
What a radio vet over there.
I mean, considering that there's going to be cameras in here, it would probably behoove the teams in town to send us free swag.
For the price of on the house.
I love behoove. I think we should use behoove more often.
It's a good solid word.
Yeah, behoove works.
It'll behoove ya to take care of your uvula. Have you ever heard that?
No.
Is that one of the phrases that you use to get ready for doing this?
No.
Unique
that
New York?
That would be a good one. Right, exactly.
It will behoove you to what? To
take care of your uvula. Yeah, you know what the uvula is, don't you?
No.
No, it's not anything dirty.
No, that's what I was saying. Is he already? It's 206.
That little thing that dangles in your throat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a uvula.
Oh.
Not to be confused with an embouchure, right?
Is that the smoking and drinking and yelling all night will get it all swollen up.
Max got pictures.
Yeah,
of course he does.
Yes, I could have pictures taken of that. There were days when, and that's when someone told me it'll behoove you.
You saw that the same thing happened to Michael Kay.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And his return has been delayed coming back from the vocal cord surgery.
It's usually an 8 to 16 week recovery. Some can run even longer, some can be up to a year. It's not fun.
Is Michael Kay down the hallway writing an article for the website, though, during the show?
No, he's not being asked to do that. He's not being asked to hold up cue cards like he's calling a play for Oregon on the sideline.
Yeah, Chicago.
What are you guys going to do on the show today?
We're going to talk about the Cubs. A lot about the
Cubs.
Do
we have to?
Yes, we do have to.
I am so much more interested in the Andrew Luck story.
Well, that too, yes. Obviously we're going to do that and celebrate. The Bears may have a kicker. They may. We don't know for sure, but they may.
And they might have dodged a bullet on a kicker. I don't know if this is being discussed as much, but what's happening with our friends to the north in Minnesota?
Yeah.
The kicker the Bears tried to trade for, that the Vikings did trade for, missed a 43 and a 54-yarder, and after the game, Mike Zimmer said his concern level was high.
Not a 43-yarder.
Exactly. But how'd you like to be in that situation?
Well, maybe they'll trade again, because now Elliott Fry is in Baltimore. Maybe they'll trade for another Baltimore kicker, and they can end up with Elliott Fry.
That would work.
You boys have a wonderful day. I will see you tomorrow.
See you soon, Lawrence.
See you, Lawrence.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.